Great, Trevor. Thanks. Good morning, everybody. We had a solid quarter in the third quarter with earnings up 11%. Growth was fairly broad-based. Organic revenue growth was 8%, and orders were very strong. Energy, which has been a drag so far this year, should turn positive in fourth quarter. The environment was more volatile, particularly in Europe and with U.S. housing, and this had a negative impact on both healthcare and appliances. However, emerging market growth was very strong. We have a strong balance sheet, and we continue to execute a balanced capital allocation plan. Significantly, we retired the Berkshire preferred shares, and this will improve EPS by 3 cents in 2012. So in all, it was a good quarter in a volatile environment. Orders grew by 16% in the quarter, which is a good indicator for the future. Organic orders growth was 6%. Order pricing is flat versus previous year, which is a positive sign. We end the quarter with $191 billion of backlog, and this is the highest in our history. Our market momentum gives us confidence in solid organic growth going forward in 2012 and beyond. So overall, we think a very good orders story. For growth, our growth investments are paying off with higher market share. Our revenue and growth markets are up 24% year-to-date. We've had 8 of 9 regions experiencing 20%-plus growth. Services growth year-to-date is up 15%, and we see continued momentum in this important space. Our investment in R&D is paying off with more launches in important segments. We're seeing great success in energy behind the Flex 50 and new gas engines. Aviation is winning across the board, and we enter the fourth quarter with a strong NPI pipeline in both healthcare and appliances. So, you know, third quarter industrial revenue organic growth of 8% is we consider to be very strong. Margins hit a low for the year in the third quarter. We expect improvement in fourth quarter. Energy is the big driver. In the quarter, we ship wind and thermal units with pricing below last year. We see that improving for 2012. Our R&D spend is normalizing and should decline as a percent of revenue in 2012. And meanwhile, acquisitions and services are improving. As we said in the second quarter call, we've seen margins come in below our expectations for 2011, but we now see solid margin growth in 2012. So that really is the margin story. For cash, we see CFOA coming in about $12 billion for 2011. We have more working capital in line with higher growth. As I said earlier, we've executed on a balanced capital allocation plan. In the quarter, we bought $1 billion of stock. We completed the ConverTeam acquisition, and we've now retired the preferred shares on October 17th. So between the Berkshire preferred and the buyback in the quarter, that's about $4 billion. And we end the quarter with $91 billion of cash on the balance sheet, so extremely strong and liquid balance sheet. And GE Capital, you know, we've given this update in the past, and I just wanted to give you an update on GE Capital funding and capital levels. With the $3 billion of debt we did last week, we've substantially completed our 2011 long-term borrowing. We'll continue to do some reverse inquiries throughout the year. We kept our commercial paper flat. And with $83 billion of cash, we're really in a great position for our 2012 maturities. As you know, the long-term debt maturities go down to $35 billion for 2013 and beyond. So we have a much different funding profile. With our earnings and a smaller GE Capital, our Tier 1 common went to 11%. So we're ahead of plan on shrinking GE Capital, leaving us with dry powder for bulk origination opportunities in the future. So this is really, I think, at GE Capital, a very good and strong story. So we've got really strong liquidity and capital positions, and the GE Capital team's done a great job. So with that, let me turn over to Keith to go through more details on the operations of the company.
Thank you, Jeff. I'll start with the third quarter summary. We had continuing operations revenues of $35.4 billion, which were flat. Industrial sales of $23.2 billion were reported down 2%. However, as you can see from the notes on the bottom of the page, if you exclude the impact of not having NBC revenues, revenues were up 12% in total. That's also reflected in the segment results on the bottom on the right side. You can see the industrial revenues. Financial services revenues of $12 billion were up 1%, and the earnings and EPS reporting for the quarter is a little complicated this quarter, so we thought we'd list all the iterations, and then let me explain them line by line. First is the measure that most analysts and investors and the GE management team use. We earned $3.4 billion of operating earnings, which was up 11%. We earned 31 cents of EPS, also up 11%. And here's where retiring the Berkshire Preferred comes in. We made the commitment to retire the preferred in September. That resulted in an impact to equity for a preferred dividend, which was the difference between the carrying value we had on our books and the redemption value that we paid for the preferred, as outlined in our 10-Ks. So operating EPS, including this preferred impact, was reduced by 8 cents, and with some rounding, that's the line that says 24 cents of EPS, including the redemption of the preferred. Next is continuing EPS of 22 cents. That the only adjustment there is you include the non-operating pension. And the next is net earnings of $3.2 billion, which includes discontinued operations. That's up 57%, reflecting the improvement from last year's charge in disc ops. And finally, net EPS of 22 cents, up 22%. That includes everything. That's with disc ops and the impact of the preferred. Jeff covered the cash flow of $6.5 billion. Third quarter was consistent with the first half. For taxes, on a year-to-date basis, our consolidated tax rate was 34%, or 18% if you take out the highly taxed NBCU gain from the first quarter. We previously indicated that we expected a low 20s GE rate for the year, excluding the NBCU gain. We now expect the GE rate to be 19 to 20% for the year. Since it was above 20% in the first half, the third quarter is lower, 18%, and that averages to the 20% year-to-date rate. The GE capital rate is 14% on a year-to-date basis. That rate's up significantly from 2010 due to the higher pre-tax income. We had previously indicated a JECS tax rate for the year in the high teens, but our current view is 12 to 14%. While the tax benefits are down from 2010, in the third quarter, international benefits increased so that our run rate of total tax benefits went from about $350 million per quarter as of Q2 to about $400 million per quarter now. And because our view of the total year reflects those higher tax benefits, we needed to book to a lower rate in the third quarter, decreasing the third quarter rate by about 10 points. As we've said before, we have the 06 and 07 audit that's close to completion. We also have other planning that could affect our rate in the fourth quarter relative to our current year total framework of 19 to 20% for GE and 12 to 14% for GE Capital. On the right side, you can see the segment results. Industrial revenues were up 19%, driven by transportation and energy. Industrial segment profit of $3.2 billion was down 1%. And GE Capital earnings were up 79%, driving the overall segment earnings up 15%. And I'll cover each of the segments in more detail as we go through this morning. Before I get to the businesses, I'll cover the other items page. On the positive side, we had two items. First, we had a true-up this quarter to our NBCU gain from Q1. The valuation of our initial 49% investment was finalized with outside advisors, resulting in a $131 million after-tax gain that was recorded at corporate. We also realized a $98 million after-tax gain from the sale of the Unison Rings business, which was recorded in our aviation segment results. We also had some one-time costs in the third quarter. First, we had $77 million of after-tax costs resulting from the termination of two supplier arrangements. Those were also recorded in the aviation segment. And we had $60 million of after-tax costs related to our M&A, things like transaction costs, severance, and inventory step-up. And we have $50 million of after-tax restructuring in corporate, principally for healthcare and energy. So there were offsetting items in corporate, and there were offsetting items in the aviation segment in the third quarter. I'm going to start the businesses with energy. Energy infrastructure was less negative in third quarter in terms of earnings growth. However, the energy results in 3Q still more than offset the profit growth in oil and gas. For energy, we saw very strong orders growth, especially in equipment. Overall, the orders of $8.6 billion were up 15%. Equipment orders of $4.7 billion were up 56%. They're up 38%, even excluding the impact of M&A. Renewable orders of $1.8 billion were up 68%. We had orders for 781 wind turbines versus 501 last year. We had large orders in the U.S., Brazil, Romania, and Canada. Aeroderivative orders of $600 million were up 2X over last year. Industrial solutions orders of $780 million were up 29%. And the one negative was thermal orders of $400 million. They were down 49%, We had orders for 16 gas turbines versus 19 last year, but the commitment activity that we see remains strong. Order price index was down 1.7%. Renewable orders was down 4.2%, and thermal orders price was down 7.5%. Service orders in the quarter of $3.9 billion were down 12%. We had a $550 million order from Calpine in the third quarter last year that did not repeat. That's the primary driver of the V. Partially offsetting that, our energy services adjacency orders of $2.8 billion were up 6%. Revenues of $8.5 billion were up 25%. That was driven by the strong volume. 10 points of the growth came from the new acquisitions. Thermal revenue was up 60% in the quarter. We shipped 27 gas turbines versus 24 last year. We also had 4 more steam turbines. We had 21 more generators. And we had $280 million more balance of plant revenue at low margins, which was driving the revenue in total. Renewables revenue of $1.3 billion was down 6%. We shipped 633 wind turbines versus 616 last year. Some of the revenue is from mix, but pricing was down 9%, or about $130 million in the quarter. Service revenues of $4 billion were up 13%, ex the acquisitions. For segment profit, we earned $1.2 billion. That was down 12%. We earned $60 million in the new energy acquisitions, and excluding that, profit was down about $230 million. The main driver continued to be the wind business. That was down over $200 million in the quarter, and we also had a drag from our continued investment in programs and global growth. So now we continue to see the pressure from the renewables business, and I'll show you the future energy outlook on the next page. On the right side, we also want to cover oil and gas. We continue to experience very strong growth organically. Plus, we have some growth from the recent acquisitions and some impact from the weaker dollar in the third quarter. Orders of $3 billion were up 77%. 34 points of that growth came from the M&A, 8 points from FX. So still organic orders in the segment were up 35%. Equipment orders were very strong, up 83%, ex-M&A. We saw turbo machinery orders up 33%, and drilling and production was up 2.6 times. Service orders were up 13% in the quarter, ex-M&A. So a good, strong organic quarter in oil and gas. Orders price index was basically flat at negative 0.1% in the quarter, and revenue of $2.5 billion was up 42%, up 17% ex the M&A. Equipment revenue was up 23%, service revenue was up 10%, and segment profit of $319 million was up 11%. That was driven by the impact of the acquisitions, plus the strong volume, partially offset by pricing and our global growth investments. On the next page, I just want to give you an update on the outlook for energy infrastructure for the fourth quarter. Third quarter, year-to-date, we've earned $4.4 billion, which is down 12%. At the second quarter earnings call, we showed you the growth in volume from the first half to the second half. Lots of that volume is in the fourth quarter. We also said we expected second half op profit to grow, so we're planning on a strong fourth quarter for energy. And if you look at the chart, the drivers are listed on the right side here. You can see the volumes, and these units are in backlog. So down the left side, wind turbines will be up 35%, gas turbines will be up 70%, steam turbines will be about flat, and the air will be down slightly. You know, this is going to be a big volume quarter for the energy team. We're also experiencing strong outages and overhauls for the service business. Our spending levels on programs will not be a drag on margins in the fourth quarter, and we'll have a full quarter of all our acquisitions, and the acquisitions continue to perform. So the positive energy growth starts in the fourth quarter. We're looking forward to that, and we expect it to continue into 2012. Next is aviation. The aviation team had another strong quarter in Q3. Orders of $5.7 billion were up 14%. Commercial engine orders of $1.9 billion were up 18%, driven by GE90. Military engine orders, $528 million, were also up 15%. The equipment orders price was up 1.5%, and we ended the quarter with a backlog of $21 billion, up 7% versus last year. Service orders of $2.9 billion were up 18%, driven by strong spares. Our commercial spare parts orders were $27 million per day, which was up 21%, and military services were up 11%. Revenue of $4.8 billion in the quarter was up 10%, driven by the equipment volume. It was up 11%, primarily from an increase in commercial engine shipments, which were up 16%. We shipped 102 more units in Q3, driven by CFM and small commercial. We shipped 28 Gen X engines in Q3, and that volume nearly doubles in Q4 as both the 787 and the 747 with GE engines begin deliveries to customers. Service revenues were up 9%, driven by the strong spares.
up 11, and partially offset by military, which was down 2 in the quarter. The segment profit of $862 million was up 7%. That was driven by the strong volume. We had a positive value gap and the net benefit of the transactions that I covered on the other items page, partially offset by higher R&D and the new engine launch costs. For transportation, the business also had another strong quarter in Q3. Orders of $1 billion were down 28%, driven by no counterpart to two large multi-year orders last year. Equipment orders of $439 million were down 55%. Including that, there were bright spots. Mining orders of $193 million were up 54%, and the equipment backlog in total is very strong, closed at $3.9 billion, up 2% over last year. Service orders of $572 million were up 30%, and the revenues of $1.3 billion were up 48%, driven by the higher volume. We shipped 169 locomotives versus 96 last year. That drove the equipment revenues up 64%, and service revenues were up 30% on strong parts sales. Segment profit of $196 million was up 94% over last year, driven by the higher volume and continued improvement in services. Next is healthcare. Healthcare team delivered another quarter of positive growth with continued reinvestment. Orders of $4.6 billion were up 11%. Equipment orders of $2.6 billion were up 13%, with DI up 16% and clinical systems up 11%. Orders were up 4 points from the weaker dollar. U.S. equipment was up 7%, and non-U.S. was up 18%. And just to give you some of the pieces, China was up 27%, India was up 25%, Latin America was up 33%, Europe was up 2%, but if you adjust for the FX, it was down 8%, and that gave us some pressure in the quarter versus our expectations. Service orders up 9%. The total orders price was down 1.2%. We ended the quarter with an equipment backlog of $4.3 billion, which was up 9% from last year. Revenue of $4.3 billion was up 9%, driven by the equipment up 12% and service up 7%. And for revenue, just by product line, ultrasound was up 20%, devices were up 8%, CT was up 5%, MR was up 1%, life sciences were up 12%, X-ray was down 4%, and services were up 7%. For the quarter, segment profit of $608 million was up 5%. That's driven by the higher volume, by better productivity, partially offset by the negative price and $30 million investments in new products. On the right side of the page, Home and Business Solutions had another challenging quarter. Revenues of $2.1 billion were down 1%. Segment profit was down 63%. Intelligent Platforms revenue was up 8%. Lighting revenue was up 7%. And appliance revenue was down 7%. The results in the quarter were driven by appliances. Domestic market was down 5% in units. We also saw material inflation. We're just starting to see the impact of our August price increase, and we're also continuing to invest to develop the new products, which will start to roll out in 2012. So another tough quarter in Home Business Solutions driven by the housing market here in the U.S. And next is G Capital. In addition to the charts that we have in this morning's pitch here, we also have other G Capital information in the supplemental deck for your reference, and that's on the web. Mike Neal and the team had another strong quarter in the third quarter. Revenues of $11.1 billion were flat, and it was down 4% if you adjust for FX, in line with our ending net investment down 4%. Pre-tax earnings of $1.6 billion were up 2.3 times over last year, and net income of $1.5 billion was up 79%. On the right side, you can see the asset quality metrics. They're about flat for Q2. We had good volume in the quarter, $10.6 billion in CLL, up 31%. Our margins remain strong, especially on new business. Our ending net investment at $452 billion is shrinking ahead of plan. And just on ending net investment, it declined $5 billion from the second quarter. That decline was driven by 100% by our red asset portfolio, mortgages, real estate, equipment services, which were down $7 billion from the second quarter. And Core E&I was up $2 billion, mostly in CLL and retail finance. From a business perspective, I'll start with consumer. Our consumer business had another strong quarter. We ended Q3 with $141 billion of assets, which was down 3%. The net income of $737 million was down 5%. That result reflects the loss of over $100 million from prior year dispositions like Garanti and Colpatria. Excluding the disposition impact, consumer was up 19%. U.S. retail finance had a good quarter. They earned $462 million, up 40%. That's driven by lower loss provisions as delinquencies improved by 130 basis points over 3Q of 10. Volume was $21.9 billion, up 11%, And as expected, our credit costs increased from the seasonally low 2Q11 levels to more normal levels in the third quarter. Europe also had a good quarter in total. They had net income of $123 million on a reported basis. That's down 39%, driven by the loss of the guarantee income in Turkey, but partially offset by lower credit losses. If you exclude the guarantee disposition, Europe was up 7%. UK home lending earned $57 million in 3Q. It's the eighth consecutive quarter of positive earnings. Our UK home lending assets declined $1.6 billion year over year. It's down to $17.6 billion. We realized 116% on the mortgages that we liquidated in the third quarter. Our REO stock is down to 540, the lowest since the fourth quarter of 2007. And from the peak of second quarter in 2008, we've reduced our global mortgage balance from $79 billion at that time to $39 billion today, so down $40 billion over that period. Commercial real estate, they had a nice improvement versus last year and versus 2Q. We lost $82 million in the quarter, but that was $320 million better than last year and $250 million better than Q2. In Q3, we had $32 million of after-tax credit losses. We had $146 million of after-tax marks and impairments. And during the quarter, we sold 115 properties for $800 million, recording $668 million worth of gains. Our assets are down 17% year over year, excluding FX, and down 4% from Q2. Again, from our peak in the second quarter of 2008, our commercial real estate assets are down $32 billion. While the commercial market has definitely benefited from some more liquidity in the third quarter, we still see economic volatility in Europe. We'll complete our portfolio evaluation review in the fourth quarter, and that could result in higher marks and impairments in the third quarter, but we still expect performance to continue to improve year over year. Commercial lending and leasing business also had another strong quarter with earnings of $688 million, up 55% from last year. Results were driven by lower losses and improved margins. CLL volume was $10.6 billion, up 31%. Americas drove most of the income growth with earnings of $547 million, up 58%. Europe was flat, and Asia was up slightly. GECAS had a strong quarter, earnings of $208 million, up 31% from last year. That's driven by lower impairments. We recorded $107 million net of after-tax impairments in Q3 as part of our annual review, mostly on 737 Classics. That was $62 million less than last year, and we ended the third quarter with one aircraft on the ground. Energy Financial Services also had a good quarter, earnings of $79 million, which was up 44%. That's driven by higher core income and lower losses. So overall, a very good quarter, very strong quarter in G Capital. You know, with all the volatility in Europe last quarter, we wanted to share some facts about our businesses in Europe. So we put a page together about our G Capital industrial franchises. On the left side is G Capital. You know, our businesses are profitable. Through three quarters, we've earned $940 million, which is up 32%. Excluding the benefit of the guarantee gain, our results are up 18% year-to-date. You can see our assets by country and by business. Our asset performance remains solid. In terms of delinquencies, our CLL delinquencies are at 4%. They're down 20 basis points year-over-year. Our consumer delinquencies are 9.8%. They're down 74 basis points year-over-year. We're very diversified. We have over 700,000 commercial customers. Probably the most important point on the page is our business model. Over 85% of the assets here are secured by collateral. We do have around $300 million of sovereign debt in the focus countries. It's in Greek and Italian bonds that we've talked about before. We do not have any sovereign debt in Portugal, Ireland, or Spain. We actively manage our counterparty exposures here. We stress test the entire portfolio twice a year, and it results in us taking proactive actions to reduce exposures where we feel it's appropriate. Our view is that the assets are going to continue to come to market here at attractive prices as the banks need to downsize or exit certain areas. And we put $2 billion to work in energy assets and in factoring businesses so far at good prices, and we're optimistic that we're going to see some more opportunities here in Europe as things go forward. On the industrial side, Europe represents 18% of our revenue. We have seen some slowdown in orders as listed below the chart, but the overall decline's been very manageable. And with our global cost position, we've seen very nominal impacts from currency. So Europe, it's an important region for us. We've been there a long time. Our businesses are performing okay, and we're monitoring the situation closely. With that, let me turn it back to Jeff.
Great, Keith, thanks. And just to wrap up, just going back to the operating framework that we presented in December, I just give you an update. We're kind of three-quarters of the way through the year. We expect industrial growth for the quarter and the year. Energy, which has really had negatives through the first three quarters, goes positive in the fourth quarter. Aviation and transportation are really slightly better than we thought when we put the framework together. Healthcare and appliances will be slightly lower. Capital momentum is going to continue. We see organic growth industrially in excess of 5%. We see solid double-digit operating earnings for the year. I think if you think about the pattern for the year, so third quarter year-to-date, industrial has been about flat year-over-year, and financial services, GE Capital, has been growing significantly. I think when you look at the fourth quarter, our industrial earnings go positive. Financial services stays at a very strong rate. And so, you know, you get in fourth quarter momentum, and that momentum continues into 2012. So we're confident in the total year framework for 2011, very strong, solid double-digit growth, gaining momentum as we end the year, and the leading indicators remain positive. So I feel really good about you know, what the third quarter said, how the fourth quarter momentum is looking, and how we feel in terms of closing the year. And then our final chart is just kind of a framework development for 2012. You know, and just this is a kind of a framework that we presented at EPG and then talked about at the end of the second quarter. And I just wanted to give you a few reflections as we look at it for the fourth quarter and you know, kind of what we can expect when we do our December dinner and then into 2012. So we see the key factors around GE Capital continue to improve. I think the real estate turnaround is underway, and that shows up in the third quarter. Our balance sheet strength is very strong, and our liquidity remains high. Industrial, you know, healthcare and transportation, you know, a lot of the elements and fundamentals should continue, and we should continue to grow. I think we're lined up to have solid growth in aviation and energy. We've got a full year of the acquisition impact in energy, and we'll have good momentum in the fourth quarter. Our margins should improve in 2012 versus 2011. We're going to continue to watch the situation in Europe, but as Keith said, it really does appear manageable today. In 2012, really, we should have both solid organic growth and expanding margins. And so we think the promise of that and the execution around that is key. We've retired the preferred shares. We basically have done what we said we were going to do on capital allocation. And I think the retirement of the preferred shares really provides an EPS lift for 2012, and we feel good about that. So we like our portfolio. You know, we think our outlook is strong, and we're well positioned in this volatile environment. So with that, Trevor, let me turn it back to you,
great.
And we'll take some questions.
Great. Thanks, Jeff. Thanks, Keith. Chanel, I think we're ready to go to Q&A now. I know we have a lot of people that have a lot of questions, but if we could try to limit it to one per person with the amount of time we have, that'd be great.